All right, for my own sake, let's pray, and then we'll get right after it. Father, thank you so much for First Baptist Church. We pray your name would be made holy here. Amen. I don't like long prayers. I just don't. All right. The text this morning is Genesis 1, 1 through 3. You probably have it memorized, and you didn't even notice. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Okay, Jerry, that's the text. I think I'm done.
No, no.
Let's just go home. Jerry's a good friend of mine, as he said, and you know, as he and I were talking, we were discussing this congregation, we were discussing this church. One thing I noticed is there's a lot of older believers, there's a lot of younger believers. And you know, that reminded me of a certain congregation that this text reminds me of too. And that's Moses and his congregation. There's a lot of unbelievers, there were a lot of older believers, and there were a lot of younger believers, and they were going through a hard time. And that is the context of this entire thing. And Moses, what kind of hard time they were going through? 40 years of wandering in the hellish conditions of the desert that could get really hot, over 100 degrees and extreme colds at night. Over 7 people a day were dying. And 7 funerals every day amounts up to a lot of tragedy, a lot of sorrow, and a lot of pain, a lot of unanswered questions. A lot of people pulling at Moses saying, "Why, God? Why did your God do this?" Pulling at Moses, wanting his attention. And he's had enough. He's fallen on his face and says, "What do I do? Well, how do we get through this?" And God's saying, why don't you do this? Head forward by turning your back into the storm." So he's going this way, and he turns his back into the storm, and he backs into it. Because sometimes that's the only way you can get through a storm, is by looking backwards into the mercies of God that he's done for you in the past. In fact, so common was this that they always went west, and the Hebrew word for going forward is often east, because you look east as you're going west. That's how prevalent this was. Back, all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? No. I imagine James Earl Jones' voice coming from the heavens like, "No, go even further back." Noah? No, even further back. Go all the way to the beginning when something terrible happened. Something awful happened. Genesis 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters." Now, this has got to take a little bit of explaining, and here it is. A lot of misconceptions are born out of this text. One of the misconceptions is, let's take modern Western techniques on an ancient Eastern book and shove it as hard as we can. That's not the way to do it. A good example of this is The Wizard of Oz. Believe it or not, The Wizard of Oz is not a story of love and hope and all this other stuff. It's not about that. The Wizard of Oz is actually in the late 1800s based on, should we go to the money standard or the gold standard? And the prevailing idea was, money's like a wizard. It'll just zap away all your problems. And the writer has had enough. In the late 1800s, he wrote a book saying, money is not a wizard to solve your problems. Stay on the what? Yellow brick road. Well, that changes things a little bit, doesn't it? The context is king. The context of Genesis 1 is actually Moses going through hell on earth. Maybe there's some of you going through your own private hell on earth and no one knows about it. Maybe others know about it. And I'm here to tell you that this is for you. I'm here to tell you this is not just for Moses, this is for us. Because we serve not Moses, but a greater Moses, who didn't go through the sea and parted the sea and called the sea to his command. We serve Jesus, who parted through death. And made death under his command. Made death parted and made death back up so my people can walk through to the promised land. And not a land on earth filled with milk and honey. It's a land in heaven where God will give you the desires of your heart without end.
Amen.
That is our context, and that is why I bring up Moses, and that is why I'm saying with Moses, let's look back to verse 1. Now, the ancient Eastern context of that is they would write summary statements to let you know where we're headed. Summary statement number 1 is verse 1, real easy, right? And it summarizes what? Chapters 1 and 2. Chapters 1 and 2 are told from two perspectives on purpose. It's mainly because this is, they thought, the best way to help you learn. It's to compare and contrast, and so you're able to really chew on it. You can't understand chapter 2 without 1 and 1 without 2. And the summary of chapters 1 and 2 is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Real straightforward, right? Ah, what about verse 2? Do not put verse 2 in the same category as verse 1. You have to separate these two. And the reason why is because there are two summary statements summarizing two very different events. Verse 2 is a summary of chapter 3. Horrible things happened in chapter 3. Mainly, they got kicked out of Mount Eden. They got kicked out and they're no longer walking with God, and terrible things are happening on earth. What terrible things? There are four descriptions of hell on earth in verse 2. Again, you have to separate it from verse 1. In verse 2, there are four things. There's darkness. And this is not just the lights are off. This is darkness that can be felt. We'll get into that later. There is, the earth is formless and void. This is not creation language. This is anti-creation language. Anytime the Bible uses these words, an atomic bomb has hit. A battle has hit. Something horrible went terribly wrong. And it's not necessarily your fault, and it's not necessarily our fault. But terrible things happened. Maybe you did the sinning. Maybe you were sinned against. And how do you feel after that? Formless, desolate, void, destroyed. We got to get back up. But the earth now is destroyed. The earth now is formless and void. This is very, very bad. This is anti-creation language. This is not pre-creation. This is after a cataclysmic event. And last of all, this dreaded sea. The sea was terrifying. In Hebrew days, the fathers would take their kids on their shoulders and say, look at those clouds. Those are storehouses where Yahweh, our God, you know, puts the waters in nice, neat, fluffy clouds, and they're not killing anybody. In fact, it's nice. It rains, and the rain is in its place. This is good. But what happens when water is out of place? It's deadly. Deep waters terrify everyone. I mean, sharks are there. Leviathan is there. Death is out there. And it doesn't matter if you're a kid drowning in the ocean or you're an armada of ships. The sea doesn't care. It'll drown both. This is chaos, this is evil, and no one, I don't think, needs an explanation that there is evil in this world. This is our text. Now, why do I care so much about ancient Eastern techniques rather than modern Western techniques? It's because if you miss this, you're going to miss the whole text. Let me give you one illustration just for my own sake. Imagine, you know... Three, maybe 1,000 years from now, a historian looking at, it says here, First Baptist Church at Orion, Illinois. No, Orion Ill. Okay, take out my dictionary here. Orion was a constellation back in the day. It was a hunter. He had, you know, three stars on his belt, you know, and he's shooting. So this church is not only first, it must be the only church in a town called Ill. Which, dictionary again, ill means sick. They must be really sick. And this is the only church that worships a constellation called Orion. What's wrong with this? You missed the whole point. You don't want to do that in this text. No, verse 1 is a summary statement of chapter 1. And verse 2 is 1 and 2. Verse 2 is a summary statement, a grim summary statement that has nothing to do with chapters 1 and 2. It has everything to do with chapter 3. And you could copy and paste it and put it at the end of chapter 3 if it helps you. All right. Let's go to verse 1. That was kind of the overall summary. Now let's zoom in a little bit, all right? Good news, and then we'll go to bad news, and then we'll go to invincible hope about how Moses gets off his face and keeps going, and how we get off our face and keep going. Verse 1. In the beginning, God. Stop right there. It just assumes God's existence. Let's talk about God's existence for a second there. In the beginning, God created. That takes a little bit of explaining. Now, there's two ways you could do this. You could go from creation back to God, or you could go from God to creation. I'm going to go from God straight to creation, which relates to our text. And I could pull a lot of different things. Sorry, I'm going to go from creation back to God. There we go. And I could pull a lot of different things. I could use this water bottle right here. And, you know, I could look at and describe it to you. There's water in a bottle. It's really straightforward. But where did this water in the bottle come from? I could mention, you know, it's obviously from a Michigan company. And then you start asking a whole host of questions, don't you? It comes from, a semi carted it on pallets, and you know, the pallets come from a factory, and the factory, okay, well, where did the semis come from? Where did the factories come from? Where did all this come from? Where did the streets come from? Where did all this come from? And you start realizing that, you could do this with anything, by the way. You have to go all the way back to infinity, something that just never started. It has to keep going. I like to use another category. Instead of a water bottle, I like using something like 2 plus 2 equals what?
4.
2 plus 2 equals 4. There you go. There has to be a lot of factors in position for this to be true. The logical underpinning behind every number is extensive so far that it goes, you have to go all the way this way to eternity past, and you have to go all the way this way because number lines, you have to have someone creating this logical underpinning for this number, and then this number, and then this number, and all the way that way. And numbers go this way. So you have to have someone who's an engineer about all the invisible mechanisms of math. So you have a being that goes all the way from infinity to negative all the way to infinity path, a future. And it can't be dead because dead things don't keep going. It has to be alive. And it has to be good because evil self-destructs. Eventually, evil divides against itself and it destroys itself. This being didn't do that. This being is so full within himself that he's still going and he must be infinitely good from all the way to eternity past, and he's overflowing. If you're good, you have joy, and if you have joy, you have that fullness that you don't need anything. So God did not create anything out of need. He's overflowing. In other words, if you guys were all starving, and I had a buffet, the most loving thing I could do is get your attention. Come get some food. Let's eat. The most loving thing for God to do if he overflows with life is he creates. The most loving thing God can do is say, I'm going to spread this joy, this family, this glory onto creation. If he creates, he communicates. And if he communicates, he makes a moral law to decide between good and evil. And if he makes a moral law, he knows we're going to mess it up. And if he knows we're going to mess it up, he's going to do one step further. He's going to write himself into the story and give us hope. He's going to write himself into the story and communicate with us to the final degree. He's going to write himself in the story and take away all of our sins. This is God. This is God. And he's infinity. He's the one that in the beginning was communing with himself, the Father, who overflows in delight, pours his glory onto the Son, the perfect idea of himself, the Word of God. And he pours infinite delight and faithfulness and joy into the Son. And the Son pours forth back to God praise and glory and joy and satisfaction. And the two of them are living in bliss. So perfect is this bliss. So infinite is this bliss. He's the Holy Spirit. Again and again, round and round, this overflow of communication and communion and economy of the Trinity is overflowing constantly into creation. And God looks at all of us and says, you guys are made in my image. Let me satisfy you with my glory. This is God. This is chapter 1. This is verse 1. Chapters 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And why did he do it? To share his glory. Now we're on to verse 2. Let me talk about this for a second. Because we live in a world that wants to live apart from God. And that was the problem in the garden, is they wanted to live apart from God. And what happens? What is life worth if you try to live apart from God? Well, let me describe it in a few ways here. Life is divided. Nations are divided against nations. They can't stop, and it's the dumbest thing in the world, if you think about it. And state versus state, even in America, politician versus this politician, Democrats versus Republicans. I mean, this is a mess. Everywhere you look, it's a mess, much like the chaotic sea. It's a terrible mess, and people drown in it, and there is terrible injustice. God said after the fall, listen, you will have pain. Governments will now try to achieve peace, but it will achieve peace through riots and torture and injustice. Mothers, you will have to have a task of giving kids. This is good. Now it's going to be with increased pain, extreme pain. Men, your task with working and providing and protecting, you'll never be good enough. That's the curse apart from God, is you'll never be good enough. This is what leads to four devastating things. The earth is formless and void. It's like if I gave you two newspaper articles. Japan is thriving in the 1800s. They're coming forward with a lot of innovations. Nice catch. A lot of nice innovations. And then all of a sudden, another newspaper article. Japan was destroyed by two megabombs. You'd never put these two together. Japan was formless and void. 9/11, Ground Zero, was formless and void. And maybe something happened in your life. Could have happened yesterday, it could have happened 30 years ago, and you still feel it. Your life, there's parts of your life you won't let God in because why? It's not formless, or it's not with form, it's formless and void and destroyed. Maybe your life's full of darkness. That's the third thing. This is not a darkness that like shutting off the lights, by the way. We're going through the four things in verse 2. This is a darkness that Proverbs describes as ignorant sin and willful sin. The prostitute does not know that her steps lead to death. The gambler does not know that this will cost him his life. The thief does not know it'll cost him his life. The drunkard does not know that this drink is dragging him to hell. The murderer does not know it'll cost him his life. Over and over and over, it says all over the place, he does not know. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. And who was the greater Solomon? Wake up. Who's the greater Solomon, guys? Jesus. And what did Jesus pray on the cross? Father, forgive them. Why? Oh, look at that. He's quoting something. He's quoting Proverbs. So bad and so prevalent. Let me connect the dots here. So bad and so prevalent was this darkness that Jesus, when he prays, begins to give light all over the place by first saying, they don't know, Father, forgive them. Okay. I think we've got a pretty good handle on verse 1. It's a summary statement of chapters what? 1 and 2. Verse 2 is a summary statement of what chapter? Yeah. Formless, void, darkness, and evil. And oh, how there is evil. Terrifying, horrible, gut-wrenching stories of evil all over the place. I won't go into detail on that, but I want to say this. What do you do, First Baptist Church of Orion, not Orion? What do you do when you're faced with that? Because things started out so good. In the beginning, God blessed me. And this is great. But then life hit, and now I'm formless and void. All I can feel is darkness and depression. Darkness is another word for depression. It's also another word for madness. All I can feel is darkness all around. Or maybe you just feel evil all around. What do you do? Moses is on the ground. And he's like, dear God, what do I do? God says, look all the way to the beginning, because there's something that happens at the beginning of this story. If verses 1 and 2 are summary statements, What's the beginning then? Verse 3. And God said, let there be light. If there is death in your life, God can say, let there be life. If someone's walking in darkness in your life that you dearly care about, God can invincibly step into that person's life and say, let there be light. If there is evil in the world that you're living in, God can step in and say, let there be goodness. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a little bit of wrestling. Sure, it's going to take a little bit of walking with God. It's going to take a little bit of wrestling with God. But God, have patience. God is on his way. Have patience. God can say, let there be light. Have patience. God can make it right again. Amen. This is tough preaching to congregations because there's usually two types. There's one type that says, well, I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to sit back and let God do that. Surely no one here. You got to get up. And to this person, I say, you got to get up and get your blessing. And what I mean by that is when Jesus walks by, you grab a hold of him and wrestle him down and say, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Don't let go. And Jesus will say, yeah, that's right. I will bless that. And I will make your life full again. In me, not in this world. In me. All the blessings, that'll come later. But in me, first, in Jesus, that's where we find light. I mentioned this earlier, there's a lot of darkness. Jesus is the beginning of that light. If you're walking in ignorance, understand two things. If you're walking in sin, if you're walking in brokenness, I need you to understand something. Jesus loves you right where you are, but he's not going to leave you there. Love does not leave you there. Love says, okay, I'm going to forgive you. You don't know what you're doing. Now walk in me. Now you're going west, right? Face me, right? I'm pretending like I'm Jesus. You're right here. Face me. Now walk this way. Face me. Walk this way. Face me. Walk this way. Keep your eyes on Jesus as you back into that storm, as you back into your problems, as you back into wrestling matches. Keep your eyes grounded on Jesus. And sure enough, God did show up, didn't he? Sure enough, God did show up. And maybe you're like the second person. Maybe you're like Moses. The first person said, I'm not doing anything. Maybe you're like Moses. And Moses wrestled for God. Moses said, I'm not leaving until you bless me. I'm not leaving until you show up. And for that person, I say this. You're here for a reason. To that person, to those of you who are like Job, to those of you like Solomon, to those of you like Moses who wrestled hard to see the face of God, what happened with Moses? Jesus showed up and he passed by and he said, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and truth, guarding steadfast love to thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Moses saw the glory of God, and I'm pleading with you, don't give up. I'm pleading with you saying, have your quiet time. I'm pleading with you saying, trust me, God is on his way. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. Someone might misunderstand this text and say, well, you know, verse 3 is the beginning. It's past. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Verse 3 is the beginning of hope for everyone. It's the beginning of hope for you, and it's the beginning of hope for me. It's the beginning of hope for Moses, who's on his face crying before God, saying, I can't do this. And God's saying, guess what? If I said, let there be light back then, and I got Adam and Eve through the mess that they got into as they fell hard from Eden, I'll do that for you, Moses. And if he does that for Moses, he does that for you. And that is good news. But, Pastor, this person will not believe for any circumstance, and I'm terrible at speaking. I'm terrible at speaking too, don't worry. If you're bad at speaking, guess what? Who made man's mouth? Who do you have on your side? Maybe it's a chance for you to stop looking at yourself and start looking at who God is. God is the one that made man's mouth, and he'll go with you. He's with you. Well, Pastor, last time I tried that, it went terrible. Okay. Well, I have something to remind you. It went really bad for Moses and Aaron, too. In other words, if you couldn't get the vibe, we're in the same boat as Moses and Aaron. We're in the same boat. We're on our way to the promised land, and we're on our way through the wilderness and the desert. And you know what? I'm giving you something along your way that you can tuck into your tool belt that says, okay, I've got God in my tool belt. I've got God on my side. I've got God that will get me through this wilderness. I've got God that will help me. And not just through the lows. My wife is very helpful in reminding me that God is also there in your highs. Go on a good walk with God. Have some good tea or coffee or whatever else you like to drink. Do something you really like. If you like football, go play football and enjoy it, because that's a gift from God. So not just the lows. Verse 1 is also there. Enjoy everything that the Creator God made. He made everything in the heavens. If you like stargazing, you know, go stargazing. It's not my cup of tea, but you know, whatever. If you like anything on earth, like fishing, hunting, and working out, or I don't know, what do you guys like to do? You just throw out something here. Anything. Jerry likes scuba diving. Okay, scuba diver Jerry. Go scuba diving to the glory of God and enjoy it. It's pretty cool watching those little fish. I will never scuba dive because I get a little freaked out, you know, being underwater and learning how to, you know, I can't breathe underwater. But it's fine. What else? Anyone else? What do you like to do? Vikings. The Vikings? I'm a Packers fan. Biking. Oh, yeah. Much better. Okay. So watch the Vikings play and watch and go on a good long bike ride and enjoy it. And understand that whether you're having a good day or whether you're having a bad day, understand we have an anchor in Genesis 1 that's precious to us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's sweet. But the earth was formless and void. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And maybe we all feel like this one. We just want to cry. That's okay. That's all right. Because we have hope. And that hope is this. And God said, let there be light. Let's pray. I'm going to pray.